What up, fellas?
Let's get this party started.
I'm going to take off my wristband.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Where you, Dick?
Where my towel at? Where my towel at? Yes, sir. I watch way too much last night, what's wrong, man?
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now, cold world, Tuesday. Talking Sports from 12 Men is back
cold
on
bloody.
The air. Back. Rob is pulling out some old little Rick James, but that's what we do. We are having a great time here today. It's, of course, September the 29th. We are quickly wrapping up the summer, and we are talking Sports 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-hosts. Let me go ahead and introduce the fellows, and I'm sure they're not choking each other out by any means. They're happy to have some fun with one another, too. So first and foremost, I got to check it in. With Mr. JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Sorry, I had to piggyback on you. I'm good, man. What's going on, bro?
Call him F.A.
I'm good, man. What's
America,
going on with you?
America, I got nothing for that, man. Doing good. I'm scared to go to Rob Ford. How you doing this evening, sir? You all right, sir?
Darkness.
Darkness? What? Go, unity. What did he say? Unity. Oh, man. Apologies, America.
Oh,
we are a little having a little fun. How you doing today, Rob? You doing all right, sir?
Oh man, couldn't be better, man. Had a long day, but hey, that's what it takes, you know. Ready to make it do what it do on the show tonight.
I got you, America. I guess we're sort of ready to talk sports. You know, that's what we do. But let's go ahead and kick it off. If you want to go ahead and do that. First and foremost, I always like to throw out some numbers if you want to call into the show. As always, 424-243-9519. That is the number. We are on Twitter. If you go to the number at 12THMAN Sports, we are Twitter handle. And then finally, we're on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports12men, or if you put in 12 Man Sports, you will find us as well. Fellas, we got a lot of things to talk about. Rob, thank you for getting it in. Looks like we're going to start off with a couple of NBA topics, but rest assured, before the show is out, we are going to talk some Falcons. So, anyway, that's what we do. let's kick it off.
And nobody will hit
like
no Falcons.
Kind of, hey, man.
I know you don't.
You know what? You let me have my moment, Rob. You let me have my moment. So there's a lot of haters. But anyway, let's slide
into that. Everywhere we go.
Yeah, here we go. man. So, fellas, right off the league, right off the top of the league, Derrick Rose, he is out again. This time it's not as serious, I don't believe. He's going to have surgery on his left thigh. And, Rob, do you have any more details about this or anything that we want to talk about with Mr. Derrick Rose here?
Well, we don't know how long he's going to be out at this juncture. They're going to wait and make that decision after his surgery here. But it's just, you know, it's just mind-boggling how many injuries he's ever had to deal with here over the last few years. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, I mean, like I said, we don't know how long he's going to be out just yet, but it's still a huge blow to the Chicago Bulls and, you know, trying to get that rhythm going here in training camp with a new head coach here before the season starts. You know, every NBA team just started training camp this week. And obviously Fred Hoiberg would love to have him in camp. It looked like he's probably going to miss most of training camp.
Man, so, JQ, what are your thoughts about Derrick Rose, man? Anything that you want to kind of comment on this one as well, sir?
Man, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it was waterfalls. You know, left eye, you know, don't go chasing waterfalls. Sorry. But, I'm, you know, he just gets hurt. He just gets hurt a lot.
Job.
And, I mean, no. But at least it's something that, you know, he can recover from and won't affect him long-term, you know, like the knee injury. So I hate to see it for him because he has an immense amount of talent, but he just can't stay out of the training room. And, you know, when you keep having these things happen to you, he talked about free agency the other day. How can you give him a big money contract when he keeps having things happen to his body? I feel bad for him. It's just like, again, really again.
Yeah. You know, if healthy, they're probably the only team that might be able to challenge the Cavs this year, too. So, I mean, that's we don't know the long-term ramifications of this, but definitely right now is a huge blow.
The only team. Yeah. What about the Hawks, Rob? Come on, man.
Stop it.
Oh, you know what? The Hawks are doing good, man. Why don't you accept that right now? The Hawks won't be able to compete
right.
with those teams.
Today is September the 29th. I'm just saying, all we did was you replaced Damari Carroll with the younger, better version of Tim Hardaway Jr. You got Jason Richardson. You added a lot of key pieces. It's not like we're like falling off the map. So I'm just gonna sit back. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna let you guys do your thing. Be quiet.
You don't have a superstar that can take the ball.
You got to realize, man, you got swept by the Cavs, a team that had LeBron James and a bunch of scrubs.
Yeah,
They're the best player in the world, man. I ain't gonna lie. It's all good. Hey, I'm just saying, they're the champs until someone knocks them off. I said there's some doubters out there. That's okay. You know, we had some injuries as well. They had injuries too. Hey, we'll see how it plays out. We added some more depth. That's all I'm gonna say. But moving right along. Sorry for Derrick Rose, and like I said, it's kind of tough for him, and like we hope he bounces back, like we talked about, very tough. Yeah, very premature about free agency, so I'm not sure what Derrick Rose is thinking, man. Maybe it would be a good thing for him to have a change of scenery, but we hope that he kind of gets over a lot of these injuries, because right now, this dude is he's kind of one of those just the promise and just not able to fulfill that. He has all this potential, just hasn't been able to fulfill it. Speaking of the Cavs, Iman Shumpert is going to miss. This is a pretty, pretty huge thing, 12 to 14 weeks with a wrist injury. Obviously, I'm thinking they're getting Kevin Love back. You know, he's going to come full throttle there. So is this kind of a bigger deal, or is this something that, Rob, what do you think this is going to happen? How is this going to affect the Cavs moving forward?
Well, it's going to be interesting here because you really look at this Cavs roster. I mean, I still think they're going to win the East. I know we just talked about that. But I think I think it's going to be mid-season or so before they really hit their stride. They're going to still start the season off with Kyrie Irving out. The Iman Shumpert is going to be out. We're still not quite sure if Kevin Love is going to be 100% at the start of the season. And they'll still be a playoff team early in the season, but I think they'll really hit their stride once they get to January, February, once they start getting really healthy, in my opinion. So they'll just be hanging around for the time being for the first couple of months.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts about this? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. And I would agree with that. But the thing you have to remember is I think what hurts them the worst now is that they can't get the best record in the NBA and get home court if they get to the NBA Finals. But they still play in the East. So it's not as devastating as you're playing in the West where every game literally matters between the second and the seventh seed. I still think they're
Absolutely.
Top four seed, and I totally agree with Rob. They can afford to miss him in that conference and stay middle of the pack until January and then get Love and Irving up to speed and then just take off. And it's all about when you're peaking. So if they're middling to the middle of January and they start to take off and peak going into the playoffs, that's actually what you want to be doing. I think the injuries are setting it up that way for them.
I'm so glad you guys are so happy about the Cavs. That's awesomeness, man. All right. So what five teams can win
NBA?
Hey, call it.
Right.
Call it as you see it. What five teams can win the NBA title of the season? Start with JQ. What do you think, sir? You got some five teams to throw at me?
Oh, I did. But the Bulls. But, again, since this is left eye, it's the same thing. They play in the East. So I'm going to put them in Cleveland up there. And then in the West, I still think it's the three of Golden State, San Antonio, and the Clippers. I like what Golden State just staying pat. I mean, they're the champion. They're, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But San Antonio upgrading, L.A. filling out the bench. So I still think it's the power lies in the Western Conference because I'm picking three teams out of there. But I'm still going to go with the Cavs and the Bulls in the East. And my dark horse would be Washington. If they could ever figure it out, they have enough talent, but they're young, and that would be my five with a sleeper in Washington.
Okay. What about you, Rob?
I had the same five, but I moved the Bulls out of it. I'm going to go with Cleveland as the only team who has a chance in the East. I'm going to add Oklahoma City with a big question mark. It's still a big question mark of if Kevin Durant's going to ever be the same player again. I'm an NBA fan. You know, I obviously would like to see everybody healthy and hope that he does come back healthy. But it's a big question mark if we're ever going to see the same Kevin Durant. And I'm hopeful. And if we do, I mean, you have to throw in Oklahoma City in that conversation with those other three teams in the Western Conference. I mean, they did improve their depth at the end of the season last year, but they were just relying on Russell Westbrook as a one-man show. But, you know, I still think if they can somehow get a Kevin Durant that's healthy, they could possibly still be in contention with those teams, the Clippers, the Spurs, and the Warriors.
Can I just jump in real fast? And I thought about them, but the reason I hesitate, we talk about an eye injury, a wrist, you know, Irvin's kneecap, but you generally recover that. But when you're 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", and you get foot problems, it's very hard to come back for those. So that's, I agree with Bob totally, but I couldn't necessarily. I would put him seventh as a second dark horse only because of his foot. If his foot is healthy and we see him explode, they go into that top five automatically. But the foot injury with a big man is just so hit or miss, and more often than not, it's a miss.
Yeah, that's definitely a big concern. I mean, I'm rooting for him to come back. I hope he does. But I wonder if we're going to ever see the same Kevin Durant of old that we saw. I hope we do. And if there's somehow he does come back to that level, I think you got to include him in the conversation.
Agreed.
That's a big if.
Yes, agreed on all points.
Excellent calls. Like a couple of the teams, I like the Spurs, Golden State. Got to go with, Cleveland because they're up there as well. You know, we'll see how everything else plays out. I'm going to leave out the last two because, you know, we'll see how that plays out for sure. Let's talk about
SMU. He probably has his Hawks in his top five, but
yeah.
Let's talk about
SMU. He didn't want to talk about it.
I'm just saying, man, you know. I know it sounds like I'm coming across like a homer, but that's okay. We'll get our respect
you
later
are.
On, man. So we'll talk about that. So I'm not even gonna worry about it. This is pretty
okay,
big, guys. What were you about to say, JQ? You good, sir? You good?
Nothing.
You good?
Nothing. I was gonna say I was gonna say I'm not gonna mess with you. I'm letting you go.
Hey man, let me have my moment here.
This is
pretty big.
Have it, sir.
What? What's
that? No, have your moment, sir. Have it.
Okay, all right. It's gonna be Andre's show, too, at least for today. All right. We talked about this is pretty big about SMU guys, and they got hit with a postseason ban for the 2015-2016 postseason in basketball and scholarship. Kind of brings back, man, the death penalty. I mean, not like that extreme, guys, but Rob, any details about this? And I mean, like I said, it's just one of the situations where. You know, unfortunately, they keep getting kind of set as the example, but is it kind of warranted from your vantage point, or what's some details about this particular ban, sir?
Well, you know, the as good a basketball coach as Larry Brown is, and he's a great X's and O's guy, one of the best, but this kind of trouble has followed him every program that he's gone. He got Kansas on probation, he got UCLA on probation, and now SMU in the same trouble. And actually, Larry Brown is going to be suspended from coaching 30% of the season. So that's going to be a huge blow. This team has been on the rise here the last few years in college basketball, SMU. And so this is a huge blow. I mean, no postseason this season, no NIT, no NCAA tournament. And also they're going to get a scholarship ban as well. So this is definitely a big blow to the SMU program, but these kind of sanctions, unfortunately, have followed Larry Brown just about every college program that he's been, and this was he's getting penalized the worst at this location.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say they put the ponies back in the stable for this postseason because they're not going to be able to play in the tournament. But also on top of that, they've lost some of their ability to bring recruits on campus as part of this this postseason ban, and they have reduced communication with recruits as part of this. So that's the tidy it up is everything they've been hit with. But Rob hit on it, and he stole my points, a couple pieces of them, that it's happened with him at UCLA and Kansas, and he's a great X and O coach. But, you know, this has happened to him before, and what they got hit with was a lack of head coach control. So that's not, you know, institutional control. That's not administration. The actual charge is lack of head coach control, and that falls at his doorstep for not reporting something after he found out, a lot like Jim Tressel at Ohio State. So, you know,
some lying
that's
involved in that, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, I think
it is
Larry
what it
Brown,
is, which is right.
He should stay in the NBA game, stay out of college.
Yeah. But he likes to have control. But when he has control, he does stuff like this, and it follows him. I mean, we shouldn't be too surprised. It sucks for them, but we shouldn't be surprised because he's now 3-for-3. So.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks the seniors on his team had nothing to do with it, and, you know, it really puts them in a bad situation going this season. That's who it really hurts the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of tough, man. You lie with dogs, you get fleas, man. So it's just unfortunate that's been happening, and just it's just not good for Larry Brown, man. And it's tough, man, you know. But, you know, like you said, everything's just kind of – there's some things that have been happening, and just kind of things have come to the forefront. Like you said, Robert's followed him, so it's just – it's just kind of tough, man, for him. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that like we always talk about, too. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to kind of dig themselves out of this moving forward here. All right, we are continually moving on. We've got about 14 minutes in the program. We're ready to kick it into some NFL talk. And let's talk about some top five NFL teams after 3 weeks. So, JQ, I'm going to let you have the floor first, sir. I just kind of want to throw out your top teams, if you will, the power rankings, if you will, going into week four, excuse me.
So I'm going to, as much as I hate to have to say it, put New England number one because, I mean, right now they're number one in total offense, but their defense is number 19, so that's the only way you have an Achilles heel if you get lucky and get some turnovers and you can outscore them. But they are just looking, like Tom Brady said, F you to Roger Goodell. He's playing with a serious chip on his shoulder, so I'm going to go with them number one. All the angst about Peyton Manning, I'm still going to put Denver 2. He's finding ways to win. They're 3-0, and you watch the San Diego flounder, and the Raiders are playing better, but I still think that's their division to win. Then we saw Green Bay look fantastic. I'm going to put them in 3. I'm going to put Arizona at 4. I've watched some Arizona games, and Arizona just destroyed San Francisco this past week. I mean, hand on, foot to throat. It was real nasty, but I liked it. And Arizona is a good team when Carson Palmer stays healthy. So I'm going to put them 4. And for right now, I'm going to put the Bengals at number 5 because they those are games they normally give away when they let Baltimore come back and take the lead in the fourth quarter at Baltimore. And the poise that Andy showed, and it's week to week with them, and I know that. But to go 3-0 and to put another team in your division to 0-3, to put your foot on their throat, is fantastic. And we don't normally see that from a Bengals team. So I'm going to put them number 5, but they got to prove to me against Kansas City and Seattle these next 2 weeks they deserve to stay at 5 for now, but I'll put them there.
Very nice, Rob. What's your top 5, sir?
Actually, the same 5 teams. I just have 2 and 3 just slightly different from JQ. Number 1, obviously, New England. When you make this organization mag, they seem to tee off on teams, and they don't take anybody for granted. And that's what they're doing right now, and putting 51 up on Jacksonville. They're running up the score. And number 2, I have Green Bay at number 2. That's the only difference from JQ. I think he had Denver number 2. Aaron Rodgers right now is playing phenomenal football and actually pretty impressed with their defense as well. Even though Kansas City got some points on them late in that game, still very impressed with the way they're playing defensively. Aaron Rodgers is spreading the football around. They got a solid running game as well. Denver. Looks like Peyton Manning is starting to get in a little bit of a groove again. They're putting him in the shotgun, giving him some space to see the defense, and he's starting to be able to thrive a little bit more in that type of system as opposed to taking the ball under center, with Gary Kubiak. So he's making Peyton Manning a little bit more comfortable offensively. And their defense is really good, too. Their pass rush is phenomenal with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller on the edge. Creed Tlaib at the cornerback position. So they're playing phenomenal defense. Number 4, Arizona. I mean, I could almost make a case of moving Arizona even up a little bit more. They've been impressive these first 3 weeks of the season. But I wonder about their schedule, though. That's the only reason why I have some other teams ahead of them. 40-7. They got some playmakers in that secondary, too. Tyrann Mathieu, yeah. Patrick Peterson, those LSU kids. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I'll throw that out.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Gotta give my boy some love too, huh? Yeah, those guys are playing phenomenal defense, but they're getting it done offensively too. Protecting Carson Palmer, Bruce Arians, they're getting the ball down the field. Looked like Larry Fitzgerald, after having a down year, has had a revitalization. He's playing phenomenal as well. And number five, the Bengals. I got to go with them as well. Nice way to respond and get the win against the Ravens, even on the road. That's a big divisional matchup, and being 3-0, and with Roethlisberger going down, they look like they have a chance to get some separation in that division.
Are we in trouble now, though?
Fellas.
Yeah.
Top five teams. Number one, I've got the New England Patriots. Like I said, you got to give them that. They've been doing their thing. Number two, a little slightly different, I've got the Cardinals, guys. I was very impressed with how they handled the 49ers. Like I said, it's tough, man, tough call between them and Green Bay. So I just had that just because this mantle they did. Number three, I've got the Packers. They have been, like you said, Rob, Aaron Rodgers has been playing out his mind. You got to go with Packers. Number four, I've got the Broncos as well. Like I said, I think defensively they've just been on fire. Like you said, Rob, you mentioned a lot of the guys for the secondary. Good job. Number five, I'm going to show you love to you, JQ, and the Bengals. They have been have just been amazing, guys. So I got to give some love. AJ Green made his presence felt, man. Just a great, great win, too, man. So that's my top five. I would say number six would be the Falcons outside of that. But, like I said, that's my top five, guys. And, good power rankings right after week number three. So there you go.
Rob Ford, are you serious? He didn't put the Falcons in the top five? I mean, I almost said, Elizabeth, here I come. I'm coming to join you.
Did he have the Bengals?
Oh, yeah, he had the Bengals.
Wow, okay. Well, he's being objective for a change. Okay, all right, okay. We live with that.
I mean, I can be objective, guys. I mean, I'm just,
that's close.
I'm not a Falcon fan, but I did have him at number six, though. I'm going to go ahead and give you that.
Yes. Yes, I did, too. To be honest, I had him at six. Six and five are close. The only reason I downgraded Atlanta a little bit is because they beat a Dallas team. You know, Dallas got to shoot well. They don't have Romo and Dez. So that's the only thing. But outside, it's close. You can flip-flop them, and I don't think either way is wrong.
Yeah, and even though Carolina's 3-0-2, I had Atlanta slightly ahead of them as well.
Me too.
JQ, you said that we should have dominated the Cowboys. That wasn't dominating. I mean, I know the first half was kind of an interesting first half, but you weren't at least the way they were able to kind of hold on and kind of just kind of second half, totally different team. You didn't feel that a little bit, sir, or no?
No, I did, absolutely. And the thing about it is crazy is that I like Atlanta and Cincinnati. Those are the two teams I follow and want to win. And real crazy, they play a lot alike. These are games that Atlanta and Cincinnati, when they got down, would have found a way to lose in previous years.
Yeah.
But now they're finding ways to win those games. So they play a lot of life. That's why I had them at 5-6, given some of the competition, because I like Philadelphia and I'm taking care of them at home on Monday night to start the season. But I like the way Atlanta's playing and the way they are responding to adversity. They got punched in the mouth on the road and they came back, and that's not what an old Atlanta team would have done. Similarly with the Bengals, they got hit in the mouth with a wave of momentum on the road, and they normally would have folded. So I like the way both of them are picking up their level of play and responding to adversity this year in ways they didn't in years past.
Yep, fair enough. Like I said, I'm just making sure because, I think we're kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't, because if we don't win, then like, so you guys are a lot, whatever. Then because we do win, because you won because you had Brandon Wheaton and they didn't have that. I mean, you can play, you can play, it was on the road. It was a tough game, and kind of – got out kind of slow, but then we were able to kind of like force our will. And like you said, we were able to dominate and just really much shut down Dallas in the second half. So I think you got to give us a little bit of credit for that. I mean, so that's my little two cents without trying to sound like, having rose colored glasses on. Cause obviously before we'd have been like, oh man, can't believe that, but
hey bro,
I got
my Julio jersey in the closet. I'm with you. I'm giving them credit. I was rooting for them. That's what I'm saying. Like,
sweet,
no, I'm with you. I got you. 5 a.m.
Gotcha,
5 b.
Gotcha.
Let's call it that.
Hey, like I said, I clearly, I'll be objective. I like the Bengals. Bengals play well. I was very impressed. So, just good top five. Everyone said the Patriots, Cardinals, Packers, Broncos, and Bengals. We are our consensus. We are right on point with that. Whew,
yeah, we're just slightly different order, but we have the same five teams.
Yep. So a lot of love for that. So Any week five surprises from your vantage point there, though, JQ? Anything that you were kind of surprised with in the NFL real quickly?
And, you know, what surprises me is Indianapolis. That AFC South is all 1-2, and it really could have been 0-3 with the Colts because they had to come back and beat the Titans on the road in the fourth quarter. That's really been my big surprise out of all of them. Just, you know, I would put Oakland, too, because I know you talked about it as your breakout in the beginning before the season got started, being, you know, a chance to go 3-1. I mean, that's unheard of lately for them. But for me, those two stand out the most. And I'm sorry, Rob, I guess three would be New Orleans. I did not expect them to be 0-3. I did not expect them to be 0-3, even with the injury. So those are my three.
What about you, Rob?
Well, my surprises from week three, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give you some Falcons, some love for you. I was very impressed with Devontae Freeman, the way he ran the football this past weekend, too. So I actually picked him up in another fantasy league outside of ours, and I actually started him and racked up for him. So I got to give him credit, and I like the way he ran. And matter of fact, if you're the Falcons, I would think you have to make him your bell cow even when Coleman comes back. So I was impressed with the way he ran the football and how physical he ran the football, too. Also, Amari Cooper, how he just outdo Joe Hayden this past week. I mean, he was beating him left and right. And so, I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit. The rookie just outperformed against one of the better corners in the game. The Ravens being 0-3 is a little surprising. I knew going into the season they were going to have some challenges offensively. Still a little surprised that they're 0-3. With their physicality of their team. And Tyrod Taylor, really impressed with the way he's playing, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And so, I mean, I really like the way he's playing. And I remember coming out of college, and Sean Payton was very high on him as well, and I'm starting to see why. And, you know, he's throwing the football well, he's running the football as well, doing a phenomenal job, and the Bills are a team to watch as we speak. And one other surprise from week three, another game where Eli Manning does not throw an interception. That's a surprise in itself. So those are my surprises. Those are my surprises from week three.
Nice. Good calls, both of you guys. I'm going to go one of my surprises, guys, is the Miami Dolphins. They were kind of the preseason, a lot of love. And, you know, getting in Dominic Sue, you thought they were just going to, like, kind of be – and have an amazing defense, but they have not played well. They've been kind of giving away the most rushing yards. This hasn't been a good move. Now, I think offensively a little bit better, but you got to be surprised from that vantage point too.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
very
something I would say it's a big surprise. I'm also a little slightly surprised. I don't know if this is a surprise. No, we'll talk about the 49ers. They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. That's my word, because we did not expect them to kind of come out and shut down the Vikings. I did not expect them to shut down Adrian Peterson. Then the next game, they lose, giving up, you know, crazy amount of points. Then they gave up, you know, the getting beat by Arizona like that. So just, you know, we'll talk
and
about
listen.
That, Robin. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Go ahead, Jackie. What?
I know it's too early, but that killed me in fantasy with Larry Fitzgerald and the Arizona defense on the same team, just destroying me. thank you.
Gotcha.
Thank you, San Francisco.
Yeah, well, hold that thought, Rob, because we got about 2 minutes, Rob. I do want you to talk about the fantasy shout-outs really quickly and then set it up for the OT portion, if you don't mind, sir. So go ahead, and we'll hold that thought. We'll keep this going, too.
I'll see if I can squeeze in the fantasy shout-outs really quick. League number one, my co-host, Straight Cast homie, Andre, with the biggest win of the week, 217.20 over the Monsters of the Midway, 148.10. In first place, the Bristol Bombers from Bristol, Connecticut, 3-0. League number two, Boxcar Willie, 0-2 with the biggest win out of the New Orleans area, 151.58 over my co-host. Playoffs. Oh, you do great in one league, bad in another, huh, Andre? 90.02. first place, same guy from Bristol, Connecticut, Pellies, 3-0. In league number three, Unger's Crew out of Indianapolis had the biggest win of the week, 179.82 over Irvin's team, 90.42. Saints Pelicans out of Houston is 3-0. They're in first place in league number three. And we're going into our OT portion, people. And fortunately, we can't give you that portion live, so just click on the same link and you'll get the same information talking college football and NFL here in the second half.
JQ?
Stay classy, San Diego. Stay classy.
Love it, guys. Good job, as always. Since I guess here, we're going to get to the OT portion. But as mentioned, thank you, America, for listening. I know we kind of had a fun start, and we are locked in, so we're going to jump into the OT portion and definitely keep moving. So really quickly, guys, I wanted to wrap up my my last surprise. I know we kind of had two, but I wanted to add one more. And one of my surprises, guys, and this is interesting as far as – and really weird, the Cleveland Browns, I'm not sure why they're kind of flip-flopping back and forth. You know, go with Manziel. I think we talked about this before. He's kind of the guy. Just let him see what he does and just kind of leave him alone, man. So that's one of my things. I don't understand why they're kind of playing the flip-flopping back and forth, man. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
why not go with him? Josh McCown, he's lost his past 8 starts, so that's not a good streak to have, too. So that's my little 2 cents on that, too. So anyway, thanks, guys, for letting me get that in for sure.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about this. Jared Allen, guys, there's been a huge trade. He's been traded to the Panthers. He didn't really fit the scheme in Chicago. You know, Chicago, they are on a once again, on that downswing. JQ, do you think this is a good move for Jared Allen to actually go into the Panthers so he officially, you know, passes physical and everything?
That is a fantastic move for a 6-round pick to get Jared Allen. You know, you got Hardy banged up, and you got Luke Kuechly still trying to come back from the concussion protocol. That's a fantastic move for the Panthers. That basically costs you nothing to pick up somebody that you could put situational in the pass rush and even playing 60-70% of the snaps and get a lot of production. And if you get Greg Hardy back with Jared Allen as the bookends, we talked about it earlier with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, that did not make people in Flowery Branch real happy when they heard that, I'm sure. And I'm trying to figure out why they weren't in on the Jared Allen sweepstakes. I think that makes the Panthers real nasty. I want to see how it plays out, but I think that makes them really nasty.
I keep in mind Greg Hardy's with the Cowboys now. And,
not Hardy, I'm sorry. Shit, not Hardy, my bad.
You're good.
I missed it. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to see what Jared Allen has left in the tank. He had 0 sacks last season with the Bears. Obviously, a different defensive scheme. And so I'm real curious to see how much he has left in the tank. And I know in our preseason shows, I picked the Panthers to win a division. Obviously, the Falcons are right there with them right now. So I'm a little bit more impressed with the Falcons through the first 3 weeks. And but we'll have to see how much Jared Allen has left in the tank for see if he can make it a big difference on this defense. But they're already a solid defense without him, so I mean I don't think it's going to hurt them.
Great call. Yeah, I agree with you. But good call, JQ, too. I mean, I'm not sure why we didn't make a call, but like you said, maybe it was a situation where, they didn't know what he had left. But we will see, and he already joins a pretty formidable defense, so we'll keep an eye on that scenario because he's right in our division, obviously.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we know what you're talking about. All right, really quickly. I mentioned this earlier. A couple of coaches, guys, have been one-and-doners. I guess the question is Jim Tomsula, is he one of those one-and-doners for the 49ers? So I know for our Bay Area listeners, they were a huge fan of, get rid of Harbaugh. They were sick of it. And all of a sudden, I was like, be careful what you wish for because it may come true. And now it looks like, 3 weeks in, it could be a situation from there, too. So JQ was pretty upset with the what happened. So what's your thoughts on this, sir? Is he one and done as well?
Yeah, they messed me up. Now I got to deal with this fool in Michigan for the next 15, 20 years. But, yeah, and you took the point right out of my mouth, though, of be careful what you wish for, and this is what you got. So if you're the 49ers and you're bringing basically a line coach in now to be the coach and you're losing talent like you potty off of the offensive line, Crabtree's left. And I mean, I know you're bringing Torrey Smith, but I haven't really been super impressed with Torrey Smith even when he was in Baltimore. And it looks like Kaepernick is regressing. I mean, those 2 pick sixes in his first 4 passes, that just can't happen. I know Arizona's a good team, but that just cannot happen. I like Carlos Hyde in the backfield, but I don't know what they've done with Vernon Davis. Can they bring him back off the milk carton? Because he's done the way it looks. He has no impact on the game. He lost all the talent on the defensive end. So what could you have reasonably expected for Tom Stoller to do in this first year? So you could say the fine, but I don't think it would be fair to him because you didn't give him a full complement of talent to work with in the first place, and you got a regressing quarterback. What else could he have done?
What are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, some good coaches, good position coaches, doesn't necessarily make good head coaches, and this is a perfect example here. I thought this was a mistake when the 49ers decided to hire him as a head coach. He's a very good defensive line coach, one of the best in the business. But good position coaches, some of them are just not great head coaches. He doesn't have the head coach mentality, and this is a mistake for the 49ers. And obviously, we still only have played three games into the season. And so, I mean, there's still, I think it would be a huge mistake to get rid of him at this point. I still think you let the season play out, but I just don't see head coach qualities in Jim Tom Sula. That's just my personal opinion. And I think JQ said it best about Kaepernick. We started to see the regress last year. You know, at one point in this game, he was 5-for-11, and 4 of his 6 incompletions were interceptions. I mean, that's unheard of, and I mean, that's mind-boggling. And obviously, that's a very good Arizona defense, but that's still, you know, very unacceptable.
Good calls, and I agree with both you fellas too. And it's tough just because, just to kind of wrap it up, because. You know, Tom Sula, I don't know if a situation where they kind of panicked the ownership of the 49ers and they wanted somebody that to be a yes man. They didn't want anybody that was a strong personality, and they just wanted somebody to come in and maybe it was a pay thing. I don't know. So we'll see as far as that. But like I said, it is early right now. We will see how it progresses. Now, we got about 10 minutes, fellas. Aaron Rodgers, man, you talk about a fantastic, phenomenal game, 5 touchdown passes. He overtakes Brett Favre as having the most in Green Bay Packer history. Rob, they were saying it's like watching Jordan in his prime. What do you think about that statement?
Well, I mean, right now it's kind of hard to say who's better between him and Brady. I think you'll probably put Rodgers slightly ahead of Brady right now. So it's definitely, I mean, I watched a good bit of that game last night, and it was very impressive. You know, I don't know if I would put him in that Jordan category yet, you know. I mean, you know, Jordan did win 6 championships and was the man on the scene. I know it's a little bit easier probably in the NBA than it is in the NFL, but still, I wouldn't necessarily put him in that Jordan league just yet, but still very impressive with Aaron Rodgers, what he's doing.
JQ, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan in his prime, is that correct? Would you say that?
Man, you got to stop listening to that Jay-Z if I'm going to tell the backup, like, hey, you know, you can listen to some other songs, but... But, I mean, he is on a really remarkable run. And I think it is a little easier in the NBA than it is in the NFL, and he already has one. But it's something to behold, you know, to watch that Green Bay offense just tick and the way he controls it. And, you know, a wide receiver goes down, you bring back an old one who knows the system, and you made the comparison to Brady. You bring people in and out, they learn the system. He makes them better. He puts them in the position to succeed. And that defense is playing better. And you hit on it. Kansas City scored some garbage time touchdowns in that game where I think, you know, the intensity wasn't the same level because they knew they were going to win. But when everything was on the line, they were destroying Kansas City. So it's already hard to go into Lambeau and win. So if they just go 500 on the road and go 7-1 in Lambeau, they're already going to be, you know, what's that, 11-5? So, I mean, he's not there yet. Just don't compare anybody to Jordan. Just let Jordan be his own thing. But I am enjoying watching Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not a Green Bay fan per se, but Aaron Rodgers is fabulous to watch the way he can conduct that offense.
Yeah. Work of art, fellas. Work of art. Good call. The NFL has had a record number of penalties during the 3 weeks. Is this something, guys, you think that, and I'll throw it to you, Rob, is this something that you think that it's just something that they're harping on, or just kind of this is kind of the sake of the game, or just due to, you know, being sloppy play so far? What are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, it's sloppy, and a lot of it has to do with the lack of practice time in the off season. And I think the NFL is going to look at that very closely. And I think as hard as Commissioner Roger Goodell is, he has to figure out a way to get this fixed, because, you know, you don't want to hear the whistle blow on every other play when you're watching the game on television. I think it destroys the flow of the game, you know, quite a bit. So I think we got to get some more practice time here in the off season. And I think they are going to look at that very closely. That's one of the major problems here. I think at some point, every other day, do a two a day or something like that. Get more OTA practices during the spring and things like that, so we can fix this problem. It's just way too many penalties and it's hurting the Florida game.
Rob mentions how bad Roger Goodell is commissioner every single show, man. So we got to keep it consistent as well.
Hey, that's my thing. You like Tim Tebow? That's my thing.
I just think it's funny if I put him in the show, man. That's my thing. But it's funny. All right. Good call. What do you think about that, JQ? We got about 5 minutes. Do you think that's pretty accurate what Rob said?
Absolutely. He took everything that I was going to say. I think that's why the penalties are up through 3 weeks.
All right. Let's talk about a quick NFL prediction. Minnesota at Denver. This is a pretty good matchup, guys. Right now, you got the young Teddy Bridgewater, and you think Denver's going to be keying down on Adrian Peterson. What are your predictions on this? I'm going to throw it to JQ first and foremost. What's your thoughts about this, sir?
Oh, I think this is Denver big for everything that you just said. When you have Chris Harris and Gamble and Akeem Talib out there manning, basically playing man-to-man, and Minnesota doesn't really threaten you at wide receiver, and then you got Ware and Von Miller coming off the edges as a second-year quarterback in Denver, no chance. Denver wins by 17.
Whoa, okay, Rob, is that pretty accurate? Man, 17.
I think he's on the money. I totally agree with everything he just said as well. I think Denver wins, and I think Denver wins big for all the same reasons.
Okay, all right. The Major League Baseball, we got about 4 minutes, Rob. I'm not sure we're going to be able to fit everything in about the Major League Baseball races. If you could be just really brief and talk about that, if you can knock it in a minute, that's cool. We're not going to get a chance to get to our college football predictions, but go ahead, sir.
Blue Jays and Royals are entrenched as division winners. Rangers, Astros, Angels are in the fight for that division title. Look like the loser of that one will be a wild card. And, of course, the Yankees are rock solid in the wild card. The NL is pretty much set. Cardinals, Mets, Dodgers, division winners, Pirates, and Cubs. Look like we're pretty much all set with a National League playoff.
Yeah,
JQ,
you
do
figure
you
out
think
who's
going
to play where?
There it is. JQ, do you think Utah should be ranked number one in the nation?
You know what? Given the body of work, if we're not going off what the preseason ranks were, I would, because that win against Michigan is looking better every week. And to go into Eugene and lay that whooping on the Ducks is impressive. I think they have the best win of the year. I don't know what win you can put over that one for any of the top 5, 10, 15 teams. I think Utah should be ranked number one.
What about you, Rob?
Not so fast, my friend, just yet, but I think they're knocking on the door. I'm not going to put them up there just yet. I'm actually going to give your Buckeyes some love. Until they're defeated, they should be number one.
All right.
I'll take it, but,
Utah knocking on the door, for sure.
He said cautiously. Go Utah. I got some fam in Utah, too. 2 minutes. Rob, I'm going to give you a minute to close out the show. JQ, you got your minute to close it out after Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Jonas, well, we're going to actually do Wednesday night next week, people. So join us on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We got a lot of big college football games this weekend, so stay tuned. We'll cover those. Clemson will beat Notre Dame. I thought Georgia Tech was going to do it 2 weeks ago. Clemson will beat Notre Dame. Texas A&M will beat Mississippi State. And JQ can maybe throw in the rest.
Absolutely. I was just for downloading the podcast and listening to the OT portion on behalf of Rob and Dre. I'm JQ. We appreciate the love and support. Join us next week as well. Keep listening to those podcasts. We're trying to make it big time, but we can only do it if you push us. For the other ones, I'm going to go Oklahoma at home. Come on, Bob Stoops. You're an Ohio boy. You got to get it. I'm going to go with Georgia. Finally breaking through and getting the big win with Alabama. I'm going to go Ole Miss at Florida. I like that Ole Miss offense. Florida's still trying to feel their way. And I'll go with Mississippi State over Texas A&M as well. I know everything has been pretty chalk, but I'm with you 100%, Rob. Let's go.
I like Texas A&M in that one.
Oh, well, okay. Then we ain't 100%. I'm going to go Mississippi State. I'm going to go with Dak and Mullins. I'm going to go with the QB coach combo that I like the best. And I think Clemson beats Notre Dame in Death Valley. I think that's a tough place to play. As always, fellas, it's been real. Love the show. Let's keep it moving.
I agree with all the other predictions. Georgia over Alabama in the close one.
I'm going to go with I don't trust Bob Stoops, JQ. What are they going to find about me? Robinson, you know, we go back and forth, so I don't trust Bob Stoops in the big game.
He never picks Oklahoma, JQ. He never does. But I like Oklahoma in that game. I think they beat West Virginia.
I can't trust him, man. It's like Public Enemy.
Really?
Can't trust
him. I can't blame
him. No. good show, fellas. We'll see you guys same time, same week. America, we love you guys. A lot of love. Download the podcast.